will be back on Monday. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you here on this Friday, my favorite work day of the work week. And I hope it is yours as well. And with this weather we got coming in, oh my goodness. Low 60s across much of the region, mid-60s for just about everybody, and humidity levels nearly non-existent. It's going to feel so great with the afternoon highs, yeah, in the 80s, but feeling like the 80s today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. Not a drop of rain in the seven-day forecast. So, my goodness, if you don't go outside and enjoy something this weekend, I think you're really doing yourself a disservice. Throughout this program today, I want to talk about the President of the United States and how whoever holds that office impacts your life. I'm honestly getting a little tired of people on the left and people on the right telling me that if I don't vote for their candidate, that life as I know it will never be the same again. That our country is going to hell, and if the wrong candidate wins, it's going to destroy our lives. I've had a lot of presidents of the United States over the years. And I was thinking about how any of them have ever directly impacted my life. Now, I will throw a huge caveat in here. I am not in the military. I've never been in the military. I thank everyone who has ever done so, who has served our nation. I have not. My son-in-law has. But in my immediate family, that's about it. So obviously, a president sending troops overseas to a war zone has greatly impacted many, many, many lives in this nation throughout our history. So I acknowledge that, and I understand that. But beyond that, I would argue that most presidents have not had any direct impact on most Americans. That no actions they've taken, executive orders they've signed, bills they have signed into law, agendas they have established, in general, most of what a president does not directly affect most Americans. And so stop telling me that if either Harris wins or Trump wins, that our country is going to be destroyed forever. We've survived horrible presidents in this country, and we've had amazing presidents in this country, and everything in between. But how much have any of them really affected your life? Now, I do have a couple of examples of how they've affected mine, and I'll share those a little bit later. We're also going to get a presidential historian on in the last hour of the program, in the 12 o'clock hour, to share historical perspective of how much presidents impact lives. But I want to know if any of you truly believe that if the wrong candidate in your mind wins this election, that it's really going to have a direct negative or direct positive impact on your life, one way or the other. We'll talk about that throughout the show. You can text me now and call me on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line about that. We're about to talk to Jeff Palermo, our WWL.com LSU columnist, find out what LSU has going on this Saturday and what he expects to see on the field at Tiger Stadium. Later, Mike Haas is going to join us to preview the Saints game in Atlanta. We're also going to have a fascinating story coming up in about 20 minutes about a World War II veteran who has been waiting 82 years to be laid to rest. And we'll explain how a funeral is finally happening here in New Orleans today, some 8 decades after this World War II veteran died. So that's coming up. We'll also check in with the North Shore and find out what's going on in terms of economic development for St. Tammany Parish. And we'll be talking about all of those things throughout the show. Thanks for joining us here on WWL. By the way, 504-260-1870, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's switch up things and talk Tigers with Jeff Palermo. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Happy Friday.
How you doing, Dave? And I think I can make an argument that LSU football coaches have had more of an impact on people in Louisiana than presidents. How about that?
I would think that that would be a solid argument that most people could probably agree with, because winning or losing seems to have more of an impact during football season each week on many Louisianians' lives.
When you win, right, doesn't people feel better? They lose. Loosen up the purse strings. The economy's booming. When they lose, everybody's depressed. Nobody wants to do anything.
When they win a national championship, we all go bonkers and crazy. When they have a mediocre season, we're out for blood, looking for boosters to buy out contracts.
Right. You make millionaires out of people instantly.
So which side of that spectrum do you think we're going to be on as this season unfolds for the LSU Tigers? Are we going to hear, and I already heard some early calls this season for... All right, how much is Kelly's contract, and what's it going to take to buy him out? And others saying, hold on, it's early in the season. This team still has potential.
Yeah, this season would have to really go south for Brian Kelly to be put on the hot seat. I think there is still that synergy between Brian Kelly and Scott Woodward and William Tate that Brian Kelly talked so much about when he left Notre Dame to come to LSU. And
we're talking about the athletic director and the university president.
So I don't think that's going to happen. This is a tricky game, though, coming up here against South Alabama. We know what LSU's weakness is. They've been giving up the big play continuously on defense, and this is a South Alabama team that is thriving on making big plays offensively. They got a good head coach in Major Applewhite, who's known as a good play caller, who's been a head coach before at Houston and has been an assistant at Texas, has been an assistant at Alabama under Nick Saban, an analyst on Nick Saban's staff. So this is a guy that knows a lot about football, knows a lot about Baton Rouge. He's a Baton Rouge kid or a guy now, a Baton Rouge native who played at Catholic High of Baton Rouge and then went on to be a quarterback at Texas. So, and he's got playmakers, and they've been putting up a lot of points here the last couple of weeks, and LSU's defense has had trouble preventing the big play. And South Alabama has been making plenty of big plays here, especially over the last couple of weeks. So, that's what makes this game a little bit, you know, there are some that say, hey, is LSU on upset alert this Saturday? So
They are a 20.5 point favorite, according to the odds makers. But I've heard some people really wonder if that's not way too liberal of a point spread, and that this Tiger team may have its hands full with this team that's actually had some good performances against other big programs.
Yeah, South Alabama's coming off a big win against Appalachian State, and then they crushed Northwestern State. That's their two wins on the season. Northwestern State is an FCS school, obviously, from Natchitoches that's still trying to find its way. They scored 87 points against the Demons. So when you're scoring 87 points, that's pretty impressive. Appalachian State has been one of the better programs in the Sun Belt Conference here over the last few years, and they put 48 points on them on the road last Thursday. Now, there's a question. Northwestern State, again, that's a program that's really struggling at this point, and maybe Appalachian State isn't as good as they've been in the past. Maybe those games are a little bit inflated, and maybe the South Alabama team is not as good offensively. But their quarterback in Gio Lopez is a guy that can rush and pass for over 100 yards on you. Their running back, a freshman running back, Fluff Bothwell. This kid is averaging
Fluff
Bothwell, yeah. He's averaging nearly 10 yards a carry.
Fluff Bothwell.
Yeah, he's 5'10", 220 pounds. They have a receiver who's averaging close to 19 yards or 18 yards a reception. So again, guys that that can really prevent havoc for you defensively. And of course, LSU goes into this game. This is their first game without Harold Perkins, so we'll see what the impact of that is moving forward as well.
Fluff Bothwell. Sorry, that just gets stuck in my head. Is his real name Fluff, or is that a nickname?
Not exactly sure. Not exactly sure.
If your kid's
sure
last name is Bothwell, do you name him Fluff? All right, anyway. Sorry.
And he's a football player.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? You find some people with unusual names. often are very successful because they have to put up with a whole lot and have a very stiff backbone. And as a child, growing up with an odd name, and many times that leads to them having very strong character. So anyway, Fluff Bothwell. There you go. But do you think 20 and a half points seems about right for LSU to win by this weekend?
I'm actually writing my, and I guess it'll be up maybe later today, my preview of it. And I haven't yet gotten my prediction down yet. I'm still kind of looking at everything here, Dave. I think the key for LSU in this game is what was great last week was that LSU got off to a fast start offensively. They won the opening coin toss. They elected to receive, even though that drives people drives people crazy.
Yeah, most football fans think you should definitely defer, the ball to start the second half.
But I think Brian Kelly last Saturday wanted to make a statement right away with his offense, get on the scoreboard early, and that's exactly what happened. The problem was UCLA came right back and scored on its first possession. So it negated what you just did offensively. And then the game was nip and tuck all the way through those first 30 minutes, and you go into the locker room tied at 17 apiece. The Nichols game, the previous home game before that, LSU is Nichols is right there. They score a touchdown early in the third quarter, and it's a one-possession game. We all remember what happened in the South Carolina game. LSU got down 17 to nothing. Really what they need to do here, and for them to have a chance, I think, to cover that 22-point spread, they got to open the game up early in the first half, meaning opening the game up by getting a two-score lead, getting up 14 to nothing instead of just waiting until the second half to finally pull away from the opponent. That to me is the question. So that means the defense has got to come out ready to play. And Brian Kelly talked about all the mistakes they made in the first half last week, called it maddening. He says they got to play better, fundamentally sound defense. And we'll see if that, they've worked on it all week. We'll see if that makes a difference come Saturday night against South Alabama.
This is their last chance to tune up and get ready before SEC play, right?
This is their last chance. After this, they'll have a bye week next Saturday, and then they begin the gauntlet of playing SEC teams, starting with a really good one on October 12th against Ole Miss.
All right. Well, I hope that LSU does not let up and pushes the pedal all the way to the floor after South Alabama ran up the score 87-10 on Northwestern State. LSU has no reason to go easy on them.
No. And I think they're ready for them. I think they're prepared. Now, whether they execute, that's the big question. The execution is what's really been lacking with this team, especially on defense.
I will look forward to your official prediction when we get your article at WWL.com. Thank you, Jeff. We always appreciate your insight and your coverage, and we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, this weekend, and then we'll check back in with you after this to see how it went.
All right, Dave, you guys have a great weekend.
Enjoy the weather. Much better weather at Tiger Stadium today, tomorrow, than it was last Saturday, for sure, as everyone was melting out there last week. There he goes, Jeff Palermo here on WWL. Read his articles. He's got a whole bunch of them about the LSU Tigers at WWL.com. All right, Jay, Ronnie, and Keith want to answer the question about, does the President of the United States really directly impact your life? We'll find out what they think. And we'll check your texts at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line right after this. I'm really getting sick of people telling me that if the wrong candidate wins the presidential election in November, that our country is going to be destroyed, that it's all going to be over. We have survived horrible presidents. We have survived amazing presidents and everything in between through our history as a country. And I just cannot see where people truly believe that 4 years of either Harris or 4 years again of Trump are going to mean the end of life as we know it. And I started thinking about, why are people so emotional about this? Maybe more now than I remember in a long, long time in a presidential race. And I'm wondering, how does it affect them personally? How much does who the president is personally impact your life? And for me, who's in the White House generally over my lifetime has had very little impact on my personal life, on the laws that affect me, on my personal finances, really in any way. And I noted that I'm not in the military and none of my children have ever been in the military. I have a son-in-law in the military. So I get that people who are in the military or have loved ones in the military, if a president sends them to war, obviously that has a direct impact on your life. But aside from those decisions, what has a president done to directly impact your life? Jay, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, let me just state a couple of things real quick. I didn't vote for Trump either time. I didn't vote for Biden. I didn't vote for Clinton. I've been voting third party.
I say, who are you voting for? Okay. Fair enough.
Well, it's a third party for almost 25 years now, exclusively.
All right. And so tell me, Jay. Jay, first of all, do you think that if either of these candidates win, that our country and or your personal life is going to be ruined?
I do. But let me ask you one other question. Do you do grocery shopping?
Of course I go grocery shopping.
Okay. I didn't know if your wife did it, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter. So, we share a bank account, so it's our money.
Okay,
so
well,
I buy groceries, but I do. My wife hates going to the grocery store, so I usually do it.
Okay. All right. So that's just one of the ways that I feel like this administration has impacted my life in
a
negative way.
So you think Joe Biden is personally responsible for the inflation that we've experienced?
There's a couple of policies that, yes.
Okay, well, economists may disagree with you. They may say that all the money that Trump gave away during the pandemic to try and soften the blow of the shutdowns actually caused people to spend like crazy because they had all this extra money all of a sudden that the government was doling out, and that sent spending through the roof, and that started the inflationary increases. So, you know, let's just put that out there. Now, maybe Biden could have done more to curb that inflation. You can make that argument, but I think they're both guilty.
Let me give you my perspective on that. Trump would have never done that if some of the other party hadn't forced his hand. Okay?
Oh, it's not his fault. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying that was he would have not have shut the economy down. He left it up to the governors. The governors are the one who shut down the states.
Mom, I didn't mean to do it. My brother made me misbehave.
Now, did Trump do a shutdown? No, the governors of the states did it. Okay,
yeah, but it
Trump
wasn't the shutdowns that caused the inflation. It was all the money.
If you shut down the economy and nobody can work, then you've got to give them money. That was an experiment in socialism.
Jay, he didn't stop the shutdowns either. So you can blame the governors. But again, this is mostly situational. Do you really think the president is responsible for all of that happened? When Trump was president and what he did or didn't do in reaction to what governors and states did, or what Biden did or didn't do after Trump gave out all that money to try and curb the inflation that was caused by that. Jay, I appreciate the call. Ronnie, thanks for calling. You are on WWL.
Well, Jay kind of stole my thunder, but I was going to ask you.
Well, bring some more thunder, Ronnie. Come on now.
So I was going to ask you if you go to the grocery store, because I don't know about you, but I'm spending like $100 more.
Oh, and if you know, no doubt. Groceries and restaurants have seen ridiculous inflation. There's no doubt about that. But do you personally blame Joe Biden for that?
No, I don't. I blame Trump and Biden. They both spent over what they should have spent. And if
do you think either one of them could have stopped that from happening?
I think they could have gave less money out. Look, if you sat down 10 economists today and you asked them, what is the number one reason why we have inflation in any situation, whether it be now or back then, you know, in the 70s or so.
Yeah, it's one word.
It's too much money chasing few goods. Okay,
yeah, it's people spending too much. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly. So we kept giving people money and keep giving them money, and we didn't have the products to provide them. So, and then what about, you know, like energy? You don't think Joe Biden has some effect on energy? Remember what he said when he first got into office, or it might have been even right before. He had no desire to keep fossil fuels going. So do you really think that the oil industry is going to develop and try to produce more and more oil? Not they're producing as much oil as they did when with Trump. But, you know, I mean, they just he's making it difficult. What okay. about the auto
industry? And I think that's probably, Ronnie, I think you did touch on one point there that's very good. The highest price we've ever paid for a gallon of gas was in June of 2022. And Joe Biden was the president in June of 2022 when that happened. And I think you can make legitimate arguments that his policies on oil and gas exploration and production did not help in any way during that crazy inflationary time of reducing the price at the pump. And he could have done more to keep inflation from being so dramatic at the pump. And it appears the administration has done more since as prices have come down. Many in the oil and gas industry would argue not nearly enough. So I think there are, and that would be one good example, you're right, of where a president's action or inaction did impact individual Americans directly. But I think we have examples both from Trump and Biden when it comes to inflation of them both being to blame for us suffering. And the fact that the cost of everything was going up and wages were not following. We're going to continue the conversation here on WWL. And I want to know, do you really believe that your life is going to be dramatically better or dramatically worse based on who wins the election for the presidency? We're also going to have a fascinating story coming up next about a New Orleanian, a World War II veteran, who's been waiting 82 years for a funeral. And we'll finally get it today. I'll give you the details on that after this. On the Newell Norman Show, I'm Dave Cohen, as together we celebrate Friday. We're going to get back to arguing over the impact the president has on your life coming up. But right now, I want to pause from that for something that's really, really fascinating to me. And what a great, heartwarming story. Sylvia Mantina joins us from Greenwood Cemetery. Hey, Sylvia, how are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm actually from Greenwood Funeral Home, but that's okay.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you're doing something very special at Greenwood Funeral Home today and playing a part in what really is something that's long, long overdue. Tell us what's going on at 1 o'clock this afternoon there at your funeral home.
So 1 o'clock today, Greenwood Funeral Home and Cemetery have the honor of a couple of months of facilitating this service for Private Randolph Ray Edwards, who was a New Orleanian. He actually was raised 1 mile away from the World War II Museum. He entered in the service in 1942 and was in February, and then was sent to the Guadalcanal a few months later in September. He was only there 6 days when he was tragically killed. His remains could not be found for 82 years. And after 82 years, some archaeologists were digging and found burial site.
So Ray Edwards, a New Orleanian,
yes,
was killed 6 days into his time overseas fighting in World War II. And
for the Marines.
And so they buried him there. I know we always hear no Marine,
yes,
left behind, circumstances
exactly
must have dictated that they had to. They had no other option.
Absolutely. So he was buried with 3 other Marines, and years later when they went to go to retrieve their Marine, because the Marine motto, as you said, no man left behind, and they do mean it. Terrain changes, so the burial site could not be located. And 82 years later, his remains surfaced. And through DNA, his remains were identified through his great niece in New Orleans through Ancestry.com in March of this year.
Wow.
And then the process started in June to get this service that we have an honor and a privilege to be entrusted with the responsibility of facilitating his services today.
This is so wonderful. So they were able to find his family here in New
Correct.
Orleans, and today they get to give him a proper funeral and burial 82 years after he died in service to our nation, fighting for the United States and the Allies in World War II.
Absolutely. His family although military services are typically a solemn occasion, his great niece, who is the survivor of his family and her children, and the staff of Greenwood Funeral Home and Cemetery, we all believe this is not going to be a solemn occasion. It is a happy occasion. We're finally happy to have helped facilitate for generations to bring him home where his parents fought for 7 years writing letters to the Marines to get his body back, to finally put him at rest with his family and his siblings. You know, he was one of four, and he had a sister and two brothers, and his two brothers were also at war with him. One was in the Navy, and one was in the Army. His brothers made it back safe, but he did not.
Well, I am so glad, Sylvia, that all these pieces were able to come together, and that you and the family and Greenwood Funeral Home can finally give Ray Edwards the celebration of his life that he deserves here in New Orleans. What time is this happening?
We are promptly starting at 1 o'clock. His casket will exit the chapel at Greenwood Funeral Home. We will process down Canal Boulevard. We will take a right on City Park Avenue and then enter the cemetery. The family and the funeral home and cemetery want anybody, any proud American, to come out and help celebrate, bring this hero back home and lay him to rest where he belongs with his family.
So what do you expect during this procession? How is it, you said it's going to be a celebration, not a mourning of his death, because clearly 82 years later, the time for mourning there's been time for that. This is a celebration.
Correct.
That he's coming home.
So I have facilitated, as a New Orleanian, I believe he should have a traditional jazz funeral. So we'll start off with a traditional New Orleanian jazz funeral. And then once we enter the cemetery, we will have full military honors.
Fantastic. All right, 1 o'clock and making the way
Greenwood,
to the cemetery?
Yes, 1 o'clock, Greenwood Funeral Home on Canal Boulevard.
All right. Sylvia, thank you for making all of this happen and inviting the public to play a part in it. Folks, if you have time on your lunch hour today, or you can get out there, I know it's only, it's almost 11 o'clock now, so barely 2 hours away, but wouldn't it be great for folks to come out?
Yes.
And really enjoy the jazz funeral and then pay appropriate tribute to Ray Edwards as he's laid to rest here in New Orleans. Thank you, Sylvia. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave, for having me on and to be able to celebrate this hero that we're finally able to bring back home.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. We'll pick up the conversation next on how does the President of the United States impact your life directly? I'll tell you, I've been thinking about it, about how each of the last several presidents has or has not directly impacted me, but I'm willing to hear your arguments. One person says, Dave, the question depends more on congressional elections than it does who's the president. And in many cases, you're right, because if the president doesn't have a Congress that's going to pass the laws that they want, there's only so much they can do through presidential orders, executive orders. If they can't substantively change the law, how much can they affect your life? If they can't lower or raise your taxes, how much can they substantively affect your life? If they can't change wide sweeping policies, how much can they directly affect your life? And do you really believe that your life will be dramatically better or dramatically worse based on who wins this election? We continue the talk after this. How does the President of the United States directly, in fact, impact your life? And will your life be ruined or made dramatically better depending on who wins the upcoming election? A lot of people are telling me that, but I'm not sure I believe it. A couple of callers earlier said that I should recognize that Joe Biden has ruined my life because of what it costs me to go to the grocery store now. One person texts us and says all of Western Europe had inflation worse than the U.S. Did Joe Biden cause that too? Somebody else says Trump's signature was on the stimulus checks, and it's widely agreed that it was the stimulus that started the avalanche that led to the crazy inflation. So who do you blame for the inflation? Was it Trump's fault? Is it Biden's fault? James is coming up next, but Keith, let's go to Keith first. Keith, no, you said Tony, right? Tony, I'm sorry. Keith and James, hang on. Tony, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll be brief as I can. 10 years ago, when I was 59 years old,
retired to take care of my late wife. Well, when I priced private insurance, and I priced it for about a week, the best I could get was $660 a month with a $5,000 deductible. Well, then I did the Obamacare, and I got a premium of $330 a month with a $2,500 deductible. So basically, if you look at $300 a month for the 4 years before I could get on Medicare, I actually saved $14,400.
You credit President Obama for that?
Oh, definitely. And John McCain, because he cast the vote. He cast the vote for Obamacare at the time.
All right, Tony, I think that's a great example of one way that a president has directly impacted my life. President Obama pushing for Obamacare and Congress supporting it and passing it allowed me to keep my kids on my health insurance till they were 26. That was hugely important to them. It also allowed people with pre-existing conditions to be guaranteed health insurance. Without that, I have family members who would have been medically screwed. So that's one president that has directly impacted and made my life much better. President Trump's tax cuts made my life much better. I saved a lot of money on my taxes because of the Trump tax cuts. So those are two ways that presidents have directly impacted my life. But those are the exceptions, not the rules. Most presidents haven't either been able to or haven't done anything that directly impacts my life. Thanks for the call, Tony. Keith, thanks for calling. You are on WWL.
Okay, thank you, David. I can give you two examples of how it affects people across this nation.
Now, I want to know how it affects you, Keith. How did it affect you?
Okay, let's talk about the budget, taxes, okay? One example is Joe Biden lost in the Supreme Court on these student loans. Yet he goes around the Supreme Court and says, I'm going to do it this way.
Right, he's been trying desperately to forgive student loans. How has that affected you, Keith?
Well, because then my taxes got to pay for somebody who doesn't want to pay for their own college education.
He didn't raise taxes to do that. He just moved money around. And Congress has to approve the budget, by the way. Well, there is a difference.
Well, that's right.
Well, Keith, there is a difference because your taxes didn't go up because Biden tried and failed to forgive student loans. You may not like it. You may philosophically disagree with it. You may think it's a stupid idea. But did it directly impact your life? People are trying to convince me that my life is going to be horrible, terrible, no good, very bad if Harris wins or if Trump wins, or vice versa. It's going to be so great if Trump wins or Harris wins. And I don't buy it. We'll continue the conversation coming up and talk about economic development on the North Shore as well.